Listen.
Okay. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
This is the audio interview for Jerry Appling for his time during Sugar Hill. Jerry, are you okay with me recording this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. So, tell me a little bit about you growing up in Sugar Hill.
Oh, my goodness. I guess it was typical of the times. I don't know exactly how to explain that. How I grew up.
Okay. But what was your address?
My last address was 1226 Appling Road.
Okay.
In Sugar Hill. I lived there for years and years till I finally moved to the mountains.
Okay. Is that where you grew up at?
I grew up within a half a mile of where I spent my life.
Okay. All right.
Till I moved in 2000.
Okay. Okay, so from the first place that you lived in Sugar Hill, is that where you were born at?
When I was born, I never moved over a half a mile from where I lived,
okay.
Where I was born.
Okay.
And until 2020.
Okay. All right. So what was your wife's name?
Emily.
Okay. What was her maiden name?
Gaston.
Okay.
She was from Atlanta.
Okay. All right. And how many children do you have?
I have five.
Okay. Can you give me their names?
There was Michael, David, Steve, Gary, and Deborah.
Okay. All right. And how was it when you grew up, though? I mean, was there any businesses around? I'm assuming probably most of the roads were dirt. Tell me.
I remember when all the roads were dirt. I remember when the main street right through Buford was dirt.
Okay.
And if there was more businesses, there was a lot of business then. There was a bowling alley in Sugar Hill, a skating rink. There was a lot of things back when I was growing up in Sugar Hill.
Okay. Tell me about some of those. What are some of your memories of those?
The skating rink was a place for the coming boys came over, and that was always ended up in a fight.
Okay.
There was a war zone, the skating rink was. Mr. Humphrey owned it.
Okay.
And I had my leg, ankle broke there. And I was carried to the little hospital up in Buford, and I had to wait 4 hours for them to get a orthopedic surgeon to come and set it, put a cast on it. And the next morning, one of my brothers or sisters had spilled water on the floor, and I slipped and broke it over and had to go back and get it done again.
Oh, no. So you were skating first. And broke it first?
Yeah. Yeah, we were in a line in a wheel and went around, and I fell, and a bunch of people fell on top of me. I was about 14 years old and a 15.
Okay.
But there was a lot of businesses in Sugar Hill back then. I mean, there's more recreational stuff like bowling and the skating rink and things like that.
Okay. What other businesses do you remember that sticks out in your mind?
There was a service station, Pass and Puckett, was the last people that had it, but Ralph Davis had it before then. And there was a body shop there and garage, and then later Franklin Pass bought it, and he kept it in the 90s, probably, early 90s.
Okay. What do you remember about Franklin Pass?
You could tell he went barefooted, and I guess he was the first one that it took his shoes off, and he would change tires, fix big truck tires barefooted. He'd smoke a cigarette and throw the cigarette down and with his barefoot, step on it, and put the cigarette out.
Okay.
I remember that about him. And his brother, Harold Pass, was... Harold never gained a pound in his life, I guess. He wore the same belt, pant size, when... at his death, as he wore when he was in school, high school.
Right.
He never gained a pound.
Huh.
After he got a teenager, he stayed the same size the rest of his life.
What other businesses do you remember in Sugar Hill?
Well, there was a Sugar Hill Drive-In.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the first owners of the Sugar Hill Drive-In, but the last one was Harold Cabe. Him and his son ran it and brother-in-law for years and years and years.
Okay.
But it was a drive-in before Harold got it. He had it 30 years, I guess, but I can't remember the owners. The last one before Harold Cabe got it was a Greek guy. He had it. But when Harold Cabe got it, he kept it till as long as it was open then. So, but there was two owners before Harold that I remembered. Miss Burrell owned it to start with. And then I can't remember the other guy that got it. That's Miss Burrell. Then somebody got it from him, and then Harold Cabe got it, and he kept it the rest of the time that it was in business.
Okay. What other memories do you have? Do you remember the shoe shop?
I remember the Georgia Shoe Factory out there. Yeah, it was across from the school.
Okay.
Where the old school was up on the hill.
Okay. Do you ever work there?
No, I never worked at the shoe shop.
Okay.
But I knew a lot of people who did.
Okay. What about the cannery?
I don't remember the cannery.
Okay.
The school had it.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did use it or anything. I never was any kind of farmer or raised. I didn't even have a garden. But I do remember the cannery being there. But I never used it or anything.
Okay. What was it like going to school at Sugar Hill?
I guess it was not going to school about anywhere. You just, I didn't want to go. But it was a pretty good experience. You walked to school. If you went to Sugar Hill School, I reckon everybody walked that went to Sugar Hill School. I never did live over three quarters of a mile from the school from the time I was born till I moved from Sugar Hill.
Okay.
So, I liked all my teachers, but I won't mention their name. But every teacher I had was real good, except two teachers, and I still think they should have been in prison. But I won't mention their name.
Okay. Let's see. What do you remember about the school buildings?
It was a wood building, and there was an outside drinking fountain by the school, and I remember getting a drink of water, and it was storming, and lightning hit me and knocked me about 5-6 foot from the drinking fountain. Mm-hmm. I was about seven or eight years old then.
Okay.
But, and it had a big auditorium. We had chapel every morning. Everybody met there. That's where we went before school started. And they had chapel service, and then you went to your class. And it was a good experience. And then they built another addition to the school. I remember there was the old school, there was a bathroom, and then they had a wall around it, wood wall. I remember being there one time, and somebody threw a rock. They couldn't see who it was. They just threw it, and it went in there and hit a guy in the head, and they had to take him and get stitches in his head.
Oh.
But just things like that. Like it was the country. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it was good memories. I don't have any bad memories of going to school. Mr. Bass, T. Carl Bass, was the principal. And he was strict, but he was fair. And I think everybody respected him. I know I did. He was the principal the whole time I went to school.
Okay. Do you, is there anything specific that stuck out at school that you remember? Maybe an event, a ball game, a parade, or anything that you may have had during your time of school that just sticks out in your mind?
couldn't think of anything, just right off hand. No, I can't think of anything.
Okay. Was there any other buildings around the school that y'all utilized, or homes around the school that you can remember that you may have went to a friend's house or something?
There was a small store. There was about three stores around close. Miss Pooh's place, and then going across the street. There was a store there, straight across the street from the school. And then Miss Sweeter had a store there too. So a lot of times we used to go to those stores and get something to eat instead of going to the lunch room.
Okay.
And
would they let you kids have a tab?
Yeah. We'd mostly charge it to our daddy. It was the tab. It wasn't exactly a tab on us, but we'd just charge it to, and our parents, our daddy, he would pay it.
Okay. But,
all right. Yeah, we could go to any of the stores there and get anything we wanted.
Did all the stores have about the same stuff, all three stores?
Yeah, there's all of them had about the same stuff.
Okay.
And it was, for a small community, there was really a lot of stuff there, a lot of things there in Sugar Hill then. But it supported those three stores. So, and they all had about the same stuff, and everybody, sometimes you'd go in one store, and sometimes you'd go in another one. That's the way the kids would do from school. We'd go to one store one day for lunch, and maybe the next day we'd go to another one. Mm-hmm. My friends, mom had one store, and we'd go to her store a lot, but sometimes if we wanted to buy cigarettes, we wouldn't go to the one where they noticed we were. Back then, if you had the money, you could buy cigarettes when you're 10 years old, or 8, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, that wasn't good, but that's the way it was back in those days.
So are you telling me you smoked cigarettes at 10 years old?
No, I'm not telling you that.
Okay. I thought that's what I heard.
You have to guess at that. I'm not going to admit that.
Okay. All right. Okay. So who were your parents?
Millard Appman and Roy was my mama's name.
Say that again. What was
He had a garage there in Sugar Hill for years and years. Where Poston Allen's place was after, but he had a garage there for years and years in Sugar Hill. I was driving a car when I was 10 and 11 years old. I'd go to town from Sugar Hill and get parts to the parts house. There was no parts place in Sugar Hill, but in Buford there was three. And I was driving to Buford from Sugar Hill when I was 10 years old by myself.
Oh, wow. What kind of car would you drive?
The first car I had was a 35 Ford coupe. Daddy would give me a car And I could keep it maybe 2 months or 3 months, and he'd sell it, and then he'd give me another one. But no boy's mind, he'd give me a car, and then he'd sell it and give me another one.
Okay.
But back in that day, there was just so many. The cars of the day was in 30 models mostly.
Mm-hmm. You said he had a garage, so he worked on vehicles too?
Yeah. He had a garage there for a Poston Alley, and later had a body shop, and everything. It may still be there, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, and I misunderstood you on your mother's name. What was her name?
Her name was Laura. Her maiden name was Puckett.
Okay. All right. And what did you do for fun as a kid? What did y'all do? But preteen, what did y'all do for fun?
We used to go down to Shake Rag Bridge. It was an old bridge. I drove across the bridge. I think the structure is still standing. It was a metal built bridge. We used to climb up on that bridge and jump off in the river from the top, not knowing if the rain or dam wasn't there then, so any trash or trees or debris that washed down the river was there, nothing to hold it back. And I remember us going down there, couldn't wait to get out of school in the summertime and go down, and we'd climb up the structure and jump off in the river, not even knowing whether there was trees that washed there or what. But God just looked after us. It's a 1,000 wonders. We hadn't got killed, but I don't know if anybody that ever got hurt.
Huh. And that was Settles Bridge or Shake Rag?
Settles Bridge.
Settles Bridge. Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. And
I remember driving a car across that bridge myself. Shake Rag was on the other side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
And the dirt road coming. But I remember driving a car across that Settler's Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you ever remember, or did you ever have to go when they pick cotton and they would haul them from school to go pick cotton?
Yes, I did that one day.
Okay.
I thought that'd be so wonderful to get out of school, and I got on a big truck, and we went down to Shake Rag, and the way the river curved, you couldn't see the whole end from one end of the cotton field to the other. And they give everybody a row. And, of course, most of them was farm kids, and they could pick cotton. And you had a long bag. You didn't carry it. You drug it. It was a long bag. And they told us that we had to pick the bows clean. And I got out, and we was all talking and going on. It wasn't long till I couldn't even hear them talking. Everybody was way ahead of me. And I'd meet them coming back. That was my one and only day of picking cotton. But I was by myself dragging that cotton, that long cotton bag, because I couldn't keep up with them and pick the cotton clean.
Okay.
So they'd be a well out, and then I'd meet them coming back, and then I was by myself for 45 minutes or an hour. I'd meet them again.
Yeah.
So I didn't volunteer but one time. But I did get on the cotton truck one day, but I went to school the rest of the time. I didn't get back no more.
Okay. Anything else that you did as a young kid to earn money?
No, I pretty much spent my time at the garage. When I'd get out of school, I'd go by the garage. It wasn't far from the school.
Okay.
Just across the street, really.
Okay.
And I worked there.
Okay. I bet you heard a lot of stories in that garage, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. And, there was a... I remember I made a... we had, it was a car seat sitting in the garage that people sat on. Mr. Spence, I may not should call him by his name.
No, you're fine.
But Mr. Spence, he was an older gentleman. He was about to be walk out to the garage, and he had sat for a couple of hours a day. And I made a thing to shock. It would shock you. And I hooked it to that seat, and Mr. Spence, he was about as old then as I am now. And he used a walking stick. He's kind of, I guess, didn't have much feeling. He sat in that seat, and I went around in the office and mashed a button. And he didn't get up. He just looked around and sat and I pushed the button again and pushed it. He finally got up and he said, "I believe this wolf built a nest in that, in that city." But he was like, "I am now." It couldn't feel much, didn't have much feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand. I was young. I was about 14 or 15. I couldn't understand. It shocked me bad. And most people, it would sit down in it and it'd shock them. But it's wondering if somebody hadn't beat me up for it, but I never did get into trouble about it. Daddy finally found out I had it, and he stopped it, put a stop to it. I had a time of that.
Anything else that you did growing up as a teenager that y'all did for fun?
There was a lot of stuff we did for fun. We thought it was fun then. Looking back, some of it wasn't too funny now. But at the time, we thought it was. But like going to the river bridge down there and climbing up over the top and jumping off. But we did a lot of stupid stuff like that.
Okay. Anything else you can think of that you want to share with me?
When I was, I don't know, 10 or 12, when your dad went swimming, he was a couple of years older than I was 10 and he, or 10 or 12, and he was 12 or 14. We went to a lake to swim. We used to we'd dam up the creek and make a place to swim in the pasture. But he found a lake down close to Swanee. So we went down there one day. to swim, and he was a lot better swimmer than I was, I found out. We swam all the way across the lake, and he got ready to come back, so he swam, and I started off with him, but I kept falling further and further behind, and finally I just went under, and I saw him get to the shore on the other side, and that's the last thing I remember till he came back and got me and drug me out. If it hadn't been for him, about 70 years of my life would have been gone because I was already unconscious.
Oh.
And I'll never forget that. But for all practical purposes, I was already dead because I didn't know anything.
Right.
But some way he got me out. He was a good swimmer.
Well, good.
He got me out.
All right. Was there any other things that you can remember that y'all did as a teenager to either hang out or games or anything that you did?
Things won't come to my mind that quick.
That's okay.
I wasn't thinking, but
it's okay.
I'm at a loss right now.
That's fine. What do you remember about the building of Buford Dam and Lake Lanier?
We used to go over there and watch them, as a lot of the kids would, and I guess the grown-ups would too. We'd get as close as to the dam. It took I guess 3 or 4 years for them to complete it. And it was a lot of entertainment. We watched those big trucks over there when they cleared the land where the dam is. And they haul rock in. And I used to go watch that. It amazed me that the road was just wide enough for the wheels to run on, and then the trucks were going. It was real high, and it was higher then to look at it than it really is now, but because they'd cleared all the vegetation, trees, and everything off of it, and the road where it was going. We never had saw that big of trucks before, and it just amazed us. Me, I can speak for me, it amazed me. I was interested in mechanics and stuff like that, and I used to like to go over there, and I could sit on the side of the bank and watch them for hours. And I guess it took about as long for it to feel as it did from the building place. I don't know, it took a long time.
Okay. All right. And what was your first job?
My first job, I worked for Ralph Davis out there where Pastor Cookie had a service station.
Okay.
My parents moved to Smyrna when I was about 14 years old, 13 or 14, And I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay in school at Sugarhill. And me and my cousin, we lived, his parents had visited his sister in Ohio and had a car wreck, and his mama stayed up there for years after she got out of the hospital with her daughter. Me and Bill, we stayed in that house by ourselves, washed our clothes, and went to school. And I got out of school, and I went by, the service station where Passing Puckett was and Ralph Davis on the 10, and I went to work there. And I'd work there and then go on down. There wasn't no light meter in the house. And we'd undo the wire in the morning when we'd leave and hook it back up when we get there in the evening to have lights. I shouldn't tell that. I may get a bill from Georgia Power.
How old was he?
He was 2 years younger than me.
So he would have been about 12.
He had been about 11 or 12, and I was 12, 13. And we lived there. We did that for two years. And I'd stick two copper wires in the meter base where the meter went, and I'd pull them out in the morning. And that gave us our lights. It was an old house. Nobody worked on it. It had a fireplace in it. We'd cut our wood and everything to have a fire in the wintertime. And that's where we lived. Mm. A good 2 or 3 years we did that. We lived by ourselves.
People don't think about young kids doing that way back then.
I know it. I look at my grandson. I got an 11-year-old grandson. I took him up every day at school. And I think about things that I was doing. He wants to drive my truck, so I let him drive it up my driveway now. Mm-hmm. But he said, I wish I could drive it on the street car. I said, I know it. But things was not like it was. I've told him about my experience driving. And I drove to Atlanta when I was 14 by myself. And went no expressways. Went to Swanee, Duluth, and Norcross. And 22. But I was driving to Atlanta and back then, when I was 12 and 13 years old.
My goodness.
No driver's license. In fact, I never did go get a driver's license. My daddy got my first driver's license when I was 14 years old. He brought them to me. That's how different things is now than it was when I was that age.
So I guess you didn't have to take a driving test if he picked them up for you.
No, he just went and got them.
Okay.
Of course, back then, you know, war was going on, too. There was a lot of difference in that. The parents could get their kids out of school or do just about anything if they needed their kids for something. It's just a lot of difference. Some of the things I wish was, I think we should be back like it was back then, and some I don't.
Yeah.
But it was a different time altogether. 80 years ago.
Yeah. Do you have any specific knowledge on the gold mines that were in Sugar Hill?
No, I don't know anything about them.
Okay.
I'd heard about them, but I personally didn't know anything about them. I think some of the kids that live close to them, I'd heard talk about them, but I never visited them or went about them. I know some of the kids that I knew did know about them, or some of them probably on their property, but mm-hmm. I didn't visit them or know anything about them personally.
Okay. What about the moonshining that went on in Sugar Hill?
Oh, I knew a lot about that.
Okay, tell me some.
I know a lot of the, I've mentioned a lot of the moonshiners that made it. And after I got, well, I can tell it on myself. After I got 17 and 18, I hauled many loads of white whiskey, moonshine whiskey, to Atlanta at the Gordy Tire Company. There's a bunch of blacks that worked at Gordy Tire, and I knew the guy that from Buford Sugar Hill that worked there, Glaze, and I'd carry a load of whiskey to Gordy Tire Company in Atlanta to those black guys that worked there, and then I would pick up a load of beer and bring back to the beer bootleggers in Buford. And I did that. I guess I did that about a year.
Okay.
Before I went in the Marine Corps, and that was the end of that. But I knew all of the bootleggers. I think it's best that, because back then, if you was, it didn't matter how old you was, if you had a dollar, you could buy a beer. And now, since they've put the bootleggers out of business, if you're underage, you can't buy it. Unless they're still bootleggers, I don't know about that. But back then, with the bootleggers, young kids, it didn't matter how old it was, if they had the money, they would buy it. And we used to, I was pretty wild when I was a teenager. And
okay.
We used to go to the,
mentioned being in the Marine Corps. What? How long were you in service?
Oh, 4 years.
Okay.
Then went through boot camp together, and then went to California together. Then we were getting ready to ship out to go overseas to Korea, and he came by. We weren't in the same company after when we went to California, and he came by and told me, said, "I'm going home." And he tried to get me to go with him. So I thought I'd talked him out of going home. He was going AWOL. And he left that night to go back to his barracks, and come to find out he had hitchhiked to Georgia from California. And he missed the shipment going overseas. So I didn't hear from him anymore till I came back from Korea, and well, after the Korean War was over, I stayed in Japan for a while, and then when I got home, I come home on leave when I got sent back, and had a 30-day leave, and I hadn't been home for about 8 days till he came home on leave, so we got connected back together, and when he had went back, he hitchhiked back to California. Well, he rode trains, freight trains, part of the way. And he got off the train someplace. And so he's about to freeze to death on that train. So he got off. And the next day, he said he thought he was going to burn up. He was in Arizona. So he went and turned himself into the MPs, and they got him back to California. And all they did to him was send him to Hawaii, where I went to Korea. But he made out okay. But I missed him a lot. The time is gone.
Mm-hmm. So he never made it back to Georgia. He got to Arizona, and then they sent him back to California.
No, he come home. He made it all the way home.
Oh, okay.
And that was going back.
Oh, okay.
He was going back to California on his own.
Oh, okay.
But he was riding a train, a freight train then, and he said it got so cold. He was on that desert, but he was on that freight train, and he said he got cold. He had to get off because the wind was. He got off, but he said when the sun came up the next day, he got to burn up because he was out on the desert. He said he couldn't see that railroad track as far as he could see it. It went together like it was just one track. But he said since he got to the first place where the telephone, he called and turned himself into the MPs. And they came and got him back to California. But all they did, they didn't court-martial. They sent him to Hawaii.
Whoa, that was pretty good punishment.
Yeah, he stayed in Hawaii the rest of his enlistment.
Okay.
But there's a lot of things I can't think of them right. But there's just a whole lot of stuff that I've been through in 87 years. But a lot of stuff I can't, it don't come to me right quick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. You're doing great. Did you attend any of the churches in the area?
I attended a lot of the churches. My daddy was a preacher, and I didn't have no choice.
What church?
Huh?
What church in the area?
He pastored a church at Lawrence Marshall. I'm trying to think of the name of the church. 11. 11 of the Baptist Church. And I don't know what years that was.
Okay.
That was
Okay. Did you attend any of the churches in Sugar Hill, though?
I did some, not on a regular basis. I just went when I had to. That wasn't on my own. I didn't just volunteer and go. I went when Daddy said go.
Right.
But there wasn't, but there was this the Sugar Hill Baptist Church was there, and then that was the only church there when I was real young.
Okay.
That was the only church in Sugar Hill. And then they built a Methodist church out there across from the Sugar Hill Drive-In.
Okay.
And that was the only two that was there for, as long as I lived there.
Okay. Is there anything else about the moonshining that you want to add?
I guess I better not.
Okay. Okay.
But it was a big business. I guess it was about the biggest business in Sugar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't advertised, but I guess everybody knew about it.
Okay.
So it's funny how an unadvertised business can get as popular as some of the ones that got all the advertising behind it. But I bet if there's anybody that lived in Sugar Hill at the time, it wasn't aware of the moonshining bids in the area.
Right.
So.
Okay. Your son David had posted that picture of the Sugar Hill Drive-In.
I was with him when we made that. We pulled in and took a picture. I was with him that day.
Okay. That was a 59 Galaxy Fairlane, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We used to take those road tours. I guess we made about 6 or 8 tours with the old cars. You had to drive them.
Uh-huh.
We went all over the United States several times. Just old cars. One time there was over 100 old cars with the tour. We drove to San Antonio, Texas to start the tour, and one we went to Michigan, Kalamazoo, Michigan, to start the tour, and finished up in Maine. The one in Texas, we started in Texas and went to California. And we used to take those tours over.
Mm-hmm. So was that some kind of organization that y'all were part of?
Yeah. It was the old car tour. You had to drive. You couldn't trade them or anything. Everything you had to drive it. You couldn't. And we made a lot of those trips. For about 3 years, we went 3 or 4 years.
What was the name of the magazine?
Street Rider Magazine.
Okay.
We were in a lot of the magazines, the cars and our pictures.
Oh, you still have some of those?
I have one.
Okay.
David does too. I was looking at one magazine. I give it to my grandson. I was looking at it the other day. We went on one tour in Coker Tire in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We were sponsoring that tour, and they was like a pedal car, but it was a wrecker, and they sold two of them for some organization, the proceeds from the auction. And David bought one of them, and he gave it to Ethan, my grandson. And the picture of the car that David bought, the record, was in that magazine. So he gave the magazine to Ethan, but I bought another magazine at the store, and I got it.
Uh-huh.
So Ethan still got the pedal car. He's too big for it now, but he still got it put up. It looks like new. And it's in that magazine, so I got him a magazine so he can keep it together with his car.
Yeah.
And it may be worth something sometime if he wants to get rid of it.
Yeah. That's very interesting. Yeah. And I didn't ask David this. Did y'all also play some music or in a band or something like that?
I've been playing music, trying to, for years and years and years. And I play just about every Saturday night now, up here.
Okay.
But we played on those tours. We carried the guitar with us and played just about everywhere we went.
Okay. So that's what you play, is the guitar?
Yeah.
Okay. Where do you play on Saturday nights now?
There's a place up here, a man built out behind his house. He said he got tired of not being a place to play, so he built him a place. And he had people come. He's died. They're dead now. But his wife, she still has it, and people, anybody can come and play that wants to.
Hmm.
And everything that's air conditioned and heated, and it's got the PA system and the mics and everything that's set up. You don't have to carry anything but your guitar or bass or fiddle or whatever you want to carry.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up so she still keeps it running, and we go there every Saturday night. You don't ever know who's going to show up. Different people just about every Saturday night, it's not got a big place for spectators or visitors, but it's got about room for about 25 people to go sit and listen, and then it's got a place for 8-10 people to sit and play.
Huh.
So we get together there about every Saturday night and play 2 or 3 hours. And I'm still enjoying it as much as I was when I was better here playing. Ma'am.
Yeah,
but so I enjoy it just as much.
How long have you been playing?
I didn't start playing until I was in the Marine Corps. My daddy played, my mama played. Mama was really a better guitar player than daddy. She played finger picking like Maybelle Carter, but she was. But I just never did get interested in it. And when I was in Marine Corps, I was in Japan, and George Jones was in my company. He was there when I went, and he didn't know how he hadn't. Never had any records or anything then. He was just in the Marine Corps. But he would get to playing and singing, and I liked him, and I got interested in it, and it didn't take me no time to learn what little I know. And we used to sit on the beds and play, and then he got out of the way before I did. And then it wasn't long that I heard him on the jukebox, and I said, "That sounded like George Jones," and I went on the looks, and it was.
Huh.
Yeah, I wasn't sure it was the George Jones that I knew or not, but I knew it sounded like it. But then, years later, me and my wife was dating then. That was in about 55 or 56. And we was at the East Point City Auditorium for a show, and George Jones was there, so I went back and seen him. And the lights are not I'd like to have been the end of my dating with Emily, because I forgot she was there, and I was back there with George Jones. She didn't like that much. But he had just got started really in the music business then.
Yeah.
But then he was trying to get me to go with him, and I was listening. But finally, I didn't go nowhere with him and got married, and we've been married 62 years now.
Hmm. 62 years. Okay.
62 years.
Okay. And your wife's still living?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's really very interesting. Yeah. And where do y'all live at now? What town?
Young Harris. I live in Young Harris, Georgia. It's between Blairsville and Hiawatha.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else that you can think of about growing up in Sugar Hill, or your time in Sugar Hill, or anything with your children in Sugar Hill that you think you might want to add?
There's so much, but I'm having a trouble. I'm mental block. I think of something and it just goes away. I can't think of anything right off the bat.
Okay.
Once I hang up, I'll think of a thousand things.
well, we can talk again. Yeah, if we need to. Now, did you ever play anywhere in Sugar Hill?
No, I used to play in Buford at Main Street Music. We used to. I had a friend that owned a music store right on Main Street in Buford. We used to have a lot of jam sessions there. And Marvin Puckett, he had a music store in Buford. He passed away several years ago.
Okay.
But, and then Leon Hughes, he lived there now. He lives in Helen now, but he had a business in Sugar Hill and lived there for years. But we used to play over at his place a lot too. He lives in Helen now. Mm-hmm.
What kind of business did he have in Sugar Hill?
He had a welding, big welding shop over there in Sugar Hill.
Okay.
He made, well, he done all kind of stuff, but he made those concrete mixers. Them that goes on the trucks, that goes, takes the concrete out to jobs. He welded those, made those things together.
Okay.
That's what he did when he had that shop there in Sugar Hill.
Mm-hmm. Where was the shop located at?
It was across the railroad track, and the road went, I can't even think. It was on the forks of the road over there.
Okay.
And I can't think of the name, but it's right next to the railroad track.
Okay. All right.
But it was across the railroad, and the road went on around and come out on Buford Highway down there by Lanier Stew.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it was at, a pretty big place.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, if you think of something else, we can chat again. I sure have enjoyed your time today and the information that you shared on what history that you and your family have with Sugar Hill. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you.
All right.
I was glad I contributed a little bit, but not as much as I know, but all I can think of.
Yeah, so I may get with David and see if you have any pictures of home place or any newspaper articles or maybe the magazines that you were talking about, if you could share them with us and let us scan them and make copies, maybe, you know, take a picture of the truck and the magazine and we'd like to get pictures of those, but I'll touch base with David on that, and then we can go from there.
Okay.
All right.
David knows more than I did. He went to work at the Sugar Hill Drive-In when he was about 12, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He hired himself out there and just went to work as a curb boy. Yeah. At the Sugar Hill Drive-In, and he worked there for, I guess, 5 years.
Yep, I've interviewed him. He gave us some interesting information as well. So,
He's heard every kind of story to him. I never was around the Sugar Hill Drive except probably on Saturday. I was working in Atlanta, but so I wasn't there through the week. But he worked there. And he's heard everything. I've heard all kind of tales of things that happened. He was a part of it.
Okay.
So, he knows Sugar Hill. And just about everybody there.
Right. Right. Well, I sure do appreciate it. And if you think of something else, you can tell David and he can let me know. And I'll get back in touch with you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. You have a good weekend.
Okay, you too.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.